Heroes here, I'm the host of the hour. First to follow the fox named Neve, with books laid before the bear named Em, to read and retire around the long fire.
It is our final episode. Until you go on vacation. Until you come back from vacation.
Yeah.
I hate it. Don't do this. Stop going on vacation. I feel like you leave your home more than anyone I know.
Well, I mean, we've had ones where I've just been sick.
Yeah, recently, no, but you got like family that you have to go visit because you got a kid and shit. Knock it off is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, what? Why is Discord just showing a, like, the connection seems fine, but it just has an exclamation point.
I don't know,
the connection thing.
Mine says it's totally fine. I have 17 milliseconds, so it's all you, as usual. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not hearing any issues, and you're responding to me. I just don't understand the symbol it's showing me. Anyway, yeah. I mean, I do just enjoy, traveling as a thing.
I don't care.
Not usually, like, just driving to Michigan.
I don't care. What about my happiness?
Well, I'm also bummed that we're not recording for 2 weeks.
Yeah, but you'll be bummed in Iceland doing fun things. And I will be here Wednesday night going, oh, I wish I was recording Alf, but I'm watching a movie.
You'll enjoy watching a movie.
I watched a movie already tonight. I can do many things.
I know. Look, I'm gathering stuff for the sagas.
That I don't think that's actually it. I don't believe you.
Yeah.
But yes, we will not be here for the next 2 weeks after this. All things going well, you don't crash in the ocean or something. We will be back on the 9th of July to talk about the next chapters, which will then be 66 through 73.
Yeah.
Just letting people know.
Where it seems like we'll truly be in Holy Grail territory, although we got some already.
The Grail's right here. Surprised. We fucking found it. We know where it is. What are we questing for? Are we just trying to steal it from us? Many questions about what happened today, because we just know where the Grail is. The guy's got it in his fucking castle. He seems like on good terms with some of the gang. I think you could just go fucking borrow it from him if you need it that badly.
But there's also this weird thing where, like, he wants Galahad so that he can get it or have it or something. And I'm like, my guy, you have it.
Yeah.
But then also there's this whole thing where, like, the book ends and then there's going to be the thing following about the Grail. So maybe we'll jump back in time and we'll learn about how the Grail came to be here. I don't know. Truly haven't read beyond. So, I don't think that's going to happen though. This is not jumped around to quite that extent in time yet. There's been a couple where it's like, and at the same time, this was happening, or let me quick tell you about somebody's birth. But,
One important thing. I think these knights are full of shit. For one reason, which is there's one moment in this where I think it's Lancelot. Nobody knows who he is because he puts on a fucking helmet. They're like, who's this guy? And the minute that Guinevere sees him, is like, oh, that's fucking Lancelot. Because I know what my love looks like. Like, even if he's wearing a helmet, I know who the fuck he is. I think these knights just agree to, like, erase from their mind whoever someone is unless they outright name themselves, because there's been so many instances of people who fucking know each other, meeting each other in the street and going, oh, will you tell me your name, good sir? And he's like, I will not. And it's like, I have no idea who this man is. It could be anyone.
It's truly a mystery.
Truly a mystery.
I guess we'll just have to joust. Oh, how has it? We were on the same side the whole time.
But the women always know.
Yeah.
It's, like, consistent. It's fucked up. You're just making this shit up, you knights.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got more Palamedes nonsense today. I like this guy. He's ridiculous. I was reading it, and I realized the thing I like about Palamedes is that he's, like, a tragic Greek hero in, like, a Christian tale. And not even, like, a Christian parable. There's no parable here. Just a Christian tale. Everyone's, like, noble and good and doing whatever, and he's just a man who's, like, generated his own sorrow and working through it. And the two types of literature are just fucking incompatible.
Yeah.
But it makes him compelling, except for the part where he's going to get christened during this reading, and it'll probably end all of his angst until he dies or whatever.
Yeah. Although, another thing I was confused about, I mean, I love the fact that weird legend myth has these inconsistencies. But he's like, now that I've been christened, I'm going to continue to quest after the questing beast. And I was like, I thought that was one of the things that you had to resolve before you got baptized.
Yeah, I assume this is just the nature of this combining a bunch of different stories into one thing.
Yeah.
Because he does wait until he gets his, like, requisite number of, like, wins in PvP mode. So,
yeah,
it's not nothing.
And probably some group of legends had him also do the questing beast before, and others did it after, and yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very funny, because I was like, you know, oh, he's going to get the last, like, fight in, and then he's going to have to do the questing beast thing, and then he just got baptized, so.
Yeah.
He can't say no to his rivals to lovers to rivals to lovers to rivals, Tristram, when Tristram's like, now let's go get you baptized.
Who among us?
Yeah. They really have an on and off again thing going on.
Yeah. No, it's true.
I mean, the tension's always there. It's just, you know, it's changing then, what the tension
also,
is.
Also, like, there's a little bit where he gets captured, and then Tristram rides to go, like, rescue him. But literally before he can do that, Lancelot just goes and does it.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you didn't need to do that. I'm Lancelot. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lancelot fights a dragon. That's the thing that happens. Real dragon is here.
Yeah, although this is also... Is this the weird one where it's, like, he fights a dragon, but also some of it feels like a dream? Is he the one who, like, goes back to bed after? And then gets up again?
Let's
or
go
is that
page.
Some other guy?
Let's go to the page. It says 422. Because I don't take bad notes now, so I have to go back to the page or whatever.
Yeah. It may not have been Lancelot. It may have been some other guy. There's some part where it felt like there was this long narrating of a like prophetic dream that somebody was having, but then the whole thing seemed to be framed as if it really happened, and then he just went back to bed and woke up.
Let's see, they're talking about the Sea Perilous, blah blah blah. Then a lady comes, needs help. There's a sad lady in a tower. She's eternally scalded in a pot of boiling water. Gawain couldn't do shit. Left her still in pain. He's like, okay, I'll go. And she's naked. Morgan Le Fay enchanted her there. She's the fairest lady in all the land. He's like, oh, she's almost as good as my not a wife.
Yeah. Yeah, there is this whole part where Lancelot gets...
He sees in the tomb, there's come a leopard of king's blood, and he shall slay this serpent. And then he goes in and he goes in the tomb and fights a dragon. This does not feel dreamlike at all. And then King Peleus comes out and is like, oh, thank you so much for slaying the dragon. I'm king of this country and a descendant of Joseph of Arimathea. To which I go, Joseph of Arimathea. Oh.
Yeah.
Which is the only time I've ever heard of Joseph Arimathea is the Monty Python bit where they see his writing on the wall and go, that it explains everything. But I know he's a Grail guy because of Monty Python, the Holy Grail, obviously. And so yeah, then a dove flies in through the window and in her mouth was a censer of gold, sweet smell in the chamber. The young damsel enters the room bearing the vessel in gold hands. And Lancelot's, what the fuck is this? And he's like, ah, this is the Holy Grail. And then they hang out together. That's it. And he's like, would you like to sleep with my daughter? And he's like, no, I'm kind of in a situationship with the queen. And he's like, well, shit, because fate decreed that you're going to be the father of the greatest knight in the world with my daughter. And I need that to happen. So he gets a plan to have Elaine bewitched to look like Guinevere, right? That's how this works. Dame Brimson comes in and she's like, I've got magic.
Yeah.
And then brings her in and he sleeps with her and then immediately realizes what's happened. Like he opens the window in the morning after they slept together and it breaks the spell and he yells at her and then she explains the situation and begs his forgiveness and he's like, well, okay, you're like a princess. I can't be mean to women. It's literally my code to not be mean to women. I have to respect all ladies. So I'm not going to do shit about this.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then they have a kid, and that's Galahad, who is separate from the Galahad that Lancelot was named before he became Lancelot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I found the part that felt weird and dreamlike, which is the Sir Boris stuff that I think it starts like around 426, 427.
Oh, okay. We're not there.
Yeah. And he has this like, so there's this part where, when Sir Boris saw all those doors closed, he avoided opening any of them, for he did not wish to see any of the people of the castle and wanted to be alone. He did not unarm, but he lay down upon his bed in the armor. As soon as he had done this, he saw a light coming at him, and it seemed to Sir Boris that it was the light. In the light, he could see a great long spear that was pointed straight at him and aiming for him. And then it just goes into this whole part where it continues on. He's going through, it just seems like a nightmare that he's having.
This is after Elaine, the daughter of the King Pelles, tells Bors that, one, he sees the Grail, the dove flies in and the lady comes in and, tells Bors that Sir Galahad will sit the Seat Perilous and achieve the Holy Grail and is the best knight ever. And then he turns to King Pelles and says maybe the funniest line in this entire fucking book. Sir, this castle should be called Castle Adventurous, for there are many strange adventures.
Yeah.
And then all that dream shit happens.
Yeah. Yeah, and this is just the part where, I think what is happening is when he lays down in his armor, he then enters into a dream. Because there's just a bunch of there's just a series of symbols too of after this, he saw a dragon in the courtyard. The witch was passing horrible and dangerous. It seemed to him that there were letters of gold written on its forehead and that they said King Arthur. Then a ferocious and old leopard came towards it, and the dragon and the leopard fought long together and did great battle. In the end, the dragon spit out from its mouth what seemed 100 smaller dragons. Quickly, all these dragons slew the older dragon, tearing them all to pieces. I'm like, this is just dream shit. But then it just ends with at the end of 428. Then he walked back to his bed, where he stayed until morning. The whole thing just seems to frame this part that feels like a weird dream he's having.
Yeah.
As a real thing that's happening, and he's just walking around at night and witnessing these strange things.
Yeah.
I just thought it was interesting, and because we've definitely had various classics, sagas and things that will have this prophetic dream thing. And then someone will wake up and be like, I had this dream. And then, maybe somebody interprets it or whatever.
Yeah.
We just kind of get it presented here. And in a way where the stuff around it that feels could signal this is a dream, is in there, but it doesn't actually call out that's what's happening.
Yeah.
It was just a strange, I enjoyed it as a passage, but I was I feel like I just haven't seen this before, where it's so ambiguous.
Yeah. It's worth pointing out at some point, this whole Lancelot section, it seems like it is established quite a bit before where we currently were with all the other stuff happening on, going on.
Yeah.
Because this next chapter 62 mentions that he goes back and he tells the queen about the situation that he knocked up a lady but explains it. And she's like, okay, fine. Makes sense. You thought it was me. We'd be fucking. And this is while King Arthur is out in France fighting King Claudus, which happened a long time ago in the rest of the stories. Yeah. So. Also, at some point, it just skips forward, and it's Galahad is 15 and about to become a knight.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm still not convinced. I think Dame Elaine could have just as easily been in drag, and he still also would have been fooled.
Well, so she goes to Dame Elaine goes to a big tournament that they're having. A feast? I think it's a feast. I don't know. Arthur's back and he's throwing a big shindig, and she decides she's going to go and wants to, once again, bed Sir Lancelot. And Lancelot's waiting for Queen Guinevere to call, to go to her chamber and sleep with her. And Elaine has one of her attendants pretend to be Guinevere's attendant and call him into bed. And then when Guinevere's attendant goes to find him, the bed is cold. And they're like, fuck, he's off sleeping with someone else. And so she rebukes him for lying to her about being bamboozled into sleeping with this other woman. And he takes it so personally, he leaps out a window, goes mad, and runs away for 2 years.
Yeah. I forget if he's, like, completely naked or if he's just, like, he's, like, wearing just, like, his shirt or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I assume they mean, like a longer, like a, yeah. like, almost like a dressing gown, sort of, like, you know, bed clothes sort of thing.
Yeah, it probably isn't exactly this, but I'm imagining, like, the old-timey gown with the little floppy pointy hat, you know?
Yeah, I don't think, I think it's more just like a long yeah. oversized shirt, right? Like, it's just a shirt yeah. that probably goes down to, like, his thighs. So he is naked under there. It's embarrassing.
Yeah. But he's not just showing the whole world constantly.
Yeah. Anyway, Elaine feels really bad about this because it's really her fault. And then Guinevere feels really bad about this because her wrath was also kind of her thing. She could have like dealt with it a little better. And then everyone stands around and goes, alas, for like three lines. And I laughed.
truly, sometimes it's great to just say alas.
Yeah. And then the queen's like, you must find him. Spare no expense.
And then Sir Percival's like, ah, Jesus.
So, yeah, Bors, Ector, and Lionel all depart and go looking for him and go on a bunch of fucking misadventures to find him.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the summary parts to see if I can figure out where the fuck that was.
It's like it starts around 4:39, I think.
Yeah. I'm just, like, looking at the summaries to see what happened here.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, Sir Lancelot being kind of just like weird and out of his mind. And then like someone will be like, ah, the great boar we're hunting, like got away from us. And then he'll just like run and like chase it down mostly naked and just like cut off its head with a sword.
Yeah. Wherever he goes, people,
shit like that.
People do realize that he's someone of noble birth. So they kind of take care of him. And, even though he's kind of weird and doesn't seem to know what he's doing or who he is.
Yeah.
He's Dougie Jones is what I'm saying.
Yeah, he does get Dougie Jones. he really does get Dougie Jones. It's yeah.
Yeah, there's a little bit where he's like dressed as a nobleman, right? And he's like in a pavilion and he just like falls asleep. He sees a, like swords and a shield hanging in a tree and he just grabs the sword and starts like clanging it against the shield like crazy. So like it summons everyone. They think there's a huge battle and it's just him going wild on the shield. And then he like falls into a swoon. And like the dwarf tries to grab the shield or whatever. And, anyway, one of the people who sees him there while he's like swooned is, what's her face? Elaine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And goes, ah, shit, that's Lancelot. That's exactly who I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And
again, the women can always tell.
Yeah. And then, immediately, goes to the king and is like, we have to take care of him. This is our fault. And so they grab him and they start to heal him. They grail heal him, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they use the grail.
Yeah, because Pelles just has the... I guess... My only assumption is that he's going to give it to the best and most noble knight when the best and most noble knight shows up and asks for it, right? When Galahad arrives asking for the grail, he'll give it to him. Or, in the future, it's going to get stolen from him. I guess that's possible, too. But that doesn't happen in these chapters.
Yeah.
But it seems like he's just got his castle. And, like, Lancelot's, you know... He's his grandson's baby daddy. Like, yeah. You could work this out. You get the grail real easy.
Yeah.
So I don't really know what they're questing for.
Sir Galahad and the Holy Grail is the next one. Yeah. But then I've also seen there's some chapters that
there's a lot. Everyone fucking quests for the Holy Grail, yeah.
So yeah, something's got to happen to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There is a bit where he's healed and then starts living there in the castle. Cause he's like, I can go back whenever he hates me. And so he starts living with Elaine, going under Le Chevalier Malfait, the knight who, knight who has trespassed. Oh, which is a great name.
You just doing the Dougie Jones thing. Now I'm imagining someone being like, wow, you're like the king of the boar hunt. And then he just like is saying like King Boar Hunt.
Boar Hunt. Boar Hunt. Yeah.
yeah. And then he goes around and doesn't tell people's name for a little bit until
Janie E is there, like, give this man the grail. Yeah.
Elaine E.
Yeah, Elaine E is like, my husband deserves the grail. You'll give it to him, goddammit. I've been listening to Next Lander watch Twin Peaks: The Return, and it's a really fun podcast for that because Vinny and Brad have not seen it. They're all going through Twin Peaks the first time. Alex has seen it a couple times and is kind of explaining to them a lot of the, like, connections and takeaways he has as, like, a repeat viewer without giving anything away. Because they're kind of a little lost. They just have a harder time with the abstractness of Twin Peaks. They're not, like, they don't hate it, but they just are not, like, locked in the same way. And it's really enjoyable as a way to revisit The Return and just kind of laugh at it. Because Alex truly loves it. He's trying not to oversell the Mitchum brothers, but it's really hard not to oversell the Mitchum brothers because they are the greatest guys alive.
I said, like, not 2 days ago, people are under a lot of stress.
Yeah. It's one of the greatest lines of our time.
Yeah.
They're 1 week away. The week this comes out, the watch cast where they get to, yep, he's dead, hits, which is the funniest line in Twin Peaks of Return, where they see Matthew Laird with his fucking head blown off. And Gordon Cole's like, yep, he's dead. What else happens here? Anything?
Sir Tristram and Sir Palamedes, which we already kind of talked about.
Oh,
they have their whole fight.
Right. The other thing is that Lancelot does go back to whatever, right? Yeah, he goes back to Camelot.
Yeah, he does this thing where he finally reveals himself and who he is after not saying his name for a bit.
Yeah.
And then also, I think, is it King Arthur who's like at this point heard about the rumors of Galahad? Lancelot's son or something?
I believe so.
Yeah. There's all these moments, too, where it's like, and then everyone except for King Arthur was like, oh, wow, they had sex. They had sex. But they made sure not to say it around King Arthur. They just keep calling attention to that. He's like the only person who doesn't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The last chapter is Palamedes getting baptized. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which, they've had a lot of this back and forth, too, of are they going to duel or not, and they finally do, so.
Yeah, because it's the last fight he needs to check off his boxes.
Yeah.
Is this the bit where, you know what, I saved a screenshot of this, I need to find it, because I thought it was so fucking funny. I think it's probably early in this. I don't think it's them. I think it's something else. Let me go to my media tab and look through my screenshots of this book. It's earlier. A thing we didn't talk about. There's a whole bit about Percival. And he runs into Sir Ector and they have a big fucking fight. And they're like they stab each other. They both think they're dying. And there's a whole bit where like they're like at a standstill. And they're both trying to like concede at the same time. And Percival, they're telling each other who they are because they don't know. And Percival's like, alas, my name is Sir Percival of Wales, and I've been on a quest to seek Sir Lancelot. Now I'm certain I shall never finish my quest, for you have slain me. And then Ector's like, that is not so. Rather, I have been slain by your hands and cannot live much longer. Therefore, I require you ride to a priory which is near here and bring me a priest so I may receive my last rites, for I will not survive. When you come to the court of King Arthur, do not tell my brother Sir Lancelot how you slew me, for he will become your mortal enemy. Say instead that I was slain in my quest as I sought him. Alas, said Sir Percival, you tell me to do something that I cannot, for I am so faint from blood loss that I cannot even stand. How can I mount my horse? Then they both made great dole out of measure. And then literally 3 paragraphs later, they're both fine.
Yeah.
They're all over there like, ah, oh, you've slain me. I'm going to die. Please carry on my quest. He's like, no, I cannot, because I am about to die. You must carry on my quest.
Yeah.
Love it. I love it. Dumb. They're dumb as hell.
I mean, I guess I'm looking at this now. The vessel of the Holy Grail does appear before them moment. So,
yeah, no, they're healed by the Holy Grail. It does kind of go like, neither of you motherfuckers are dying. You're important.
Yeah. And they give thanks to God most humbly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the reading mostly. Great to have some fucking shit happen that was like fun.
Yeah. We were so back. I'm glad that we got like it cooking before my trip.
Yeah.
You know,
I was really expecting this to be a really boring set and then it'd be next time that we had something, but no, we're good.
Yeah. Especially cause we didn't talk at all, but it starts with the end of the tournament.
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It does not fuck it. I mean, there's like a little bit of drama around it, but I don't give a shit about jesting.
Yeah.
So, well, I think this is the longest saga chat that we've had in a while.
Yeah, no.
I'm enjoying it again. Looking forward to the end.
Yeah, we only have four more weeks. So if you're if you're a little Arthur'd out, it's coming to the end soon. Well, then we'll be moving. We'll, you know, take a little break, and then we'll be moving back to Iceland. I guess we're moving to Iceland immediately with some movies, right?
Yeah.
We will definitely return to Arthuriana in some fashion. Like, I'd like to read Sir Gawain and the Green Knight at some point, because I've read it, but it's been a long time. But, you know, we don't have, like, season four planned out. Season three is a lot of your Iceland stuff, and then we'll probably go back afield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did pick out, I think, the Irish thing that we will read, but I haven't put it in the schedule yet, because we'll probably gather other stuff, too. But,
yeah.
Irish myth and legend is just weird because it's so many scattered, fragmented texts, but there is, like, one that's fairly complete that, you know, we can just, like, read that book, so.
I am braced in fear and anguish about an Irish mythology section, mostly because I only know how to pronounce any Irish word by looking it up and listening to someone pronounce it about six times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have any head for, like, deciphering how Irish words are meant to be said. As a Midwesterner, it just is truly, like, I just have no idea. I've not been enculturated to any of the ideas of Irish spelling conventions. The phonetics don't make sense to me. My apologies in advance for all the horrible things I'm going to say, and you're going to be like, no, it's pronounced like this.
Yeah. It is the town, or the town Bokuglin. So
okay, no, don't know,
but yeah,
is that about that guy from Fates Day Night?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it includes some of the stuff about Cuchulainn. So.
Yes, that guy. That's the guy from Fates Day Night.
Yes. The cattle raid of Cooley is in there. Okay. So.
Every time he went on about his backstory, I kind of just buttoned through it because it was not very interesting to me. It presented in the visual novel Fates. Actually, it was mostly in Fate Hollaraxia. But I'm looking forward to getting it from the source.
Yeah. I do know, because I got the copy of it that we'll probably read when I was looking through it. And I think, like, one of the last readings, most of it will just be one chapter about two guys fighting.
Oh, okay.
So, it does just culminate in a big final fight.
Okay.
So, people can look forward to that, but, you know, who knows when we'll do it.
Yeah.
But have you gotten the Ada yet?
No, I haven't. I need to go shopping.
Yeah. I mean, you still have time. But yeah. You have like 2 months, but, people can check the schedule and see, because I have the, like, versions we'll read for the Icelandic sagas in there.
Yeah.
And the Eda is what we're going to spend the most time on. And I think it's still significantly shorter than, like, Mordarthur.
Yeah, this is near the top of a size of a tome. Well, honestly, about the high end of the size of a tome that exists to read in antiquity in terms of literature, right? Mm-hmm. Like, unless we really do read, like, Genji Monogatari, there aren't a ton of things that are this kind of size.
Yeah. And Genji would be fun, but...
Yeah.
You know, it would be quite an endeavor, so...
We'd have to figure something out, yeah. Because I just don't think there's going to be that much to talk about for how long it goes. I mean, you know... Yeah. To be fair, last time I read Genji Monogatari, I think I was, like, 19. So, who fucking knows what I think about it now?
Yeah.
That was literally half my lifetime ago.
Aside from the Ada, it's like, most of them are like 1 or 2 weeks. Okay. Ale Saga is 4 weeks. So it'll be like a month of that one. But,
That's it for Saga Talk. Thanks everyone who replied to last week's episode. The responses, the torrent version hasn't even the streaming version. Everyone knows what I mean. The streaming version hasn't even become available yet. So there's all sorts of people that were waiting to listen to that episode. Thank you for waiting, for being patient. I already felt like I felt a little rude putting it out, but I also just, you know, the timing lined up. If we didn't do it then, we weren't going to do it. And I'm glad we did. But your response has been positive, so that was good. I was a little, I don't know, I was nervous when we get like really, when I get really vulnerable about stuff like that. I'm like, I'm so bad at sharing. I'm real Scorpio about it. I just want to keep things secret.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a good response, and by the time people are hearing this, you know, they can just go watch it now.
Yeah, wherever fine movies are acquired.
Yeah. Speaking of, I haven't watched any of them yet, but I did get into a group for, it's like sort of Asian cinema broadly, but there's a lot of Japanese cinema in particular because of how these things shake out. So they just have a bunch of Teriyama Shuji and stuff. So I'm looking forward to watching through some of that stuff and then maybe talking about it here as well as on Stairwells, depending. So we'll see. I'm always fucking busy is the problem. I want to watch so many fucking movies. I gotta the thing is, I feel like I don't want to cut podcasts, but that's like the easiest solution, you know?
Send your kid to boarding school.
No. I'm not British. Sorry.
Oh, well, damn. It would solve some of your problems.
Yeah.
What if you just became like a housewife?
If I could afford that, I would just be a housewife.
Yeah.
That is what I would most like to be, is just like, you know, stay-at-home mom who does podcasting and probably at that point VTubing or whatever on the side.
Yeah.
But that is not my life. I am unfortunately the person who makes the most money right now.
So, oh, damn.
Yeah. Just gotta get my wife like a job at Wall Street or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's a real evil job that will just bring in lots of money. And then I can just be a kept woman.
Yep.
Dreams.
Yeah.
Well, I know we both have Tomie.
We do. If you want to talk about Tomie, we can do that. It's weird because I'm like, Shelf by Genre is talking about Tomie, so I don't want to like do a whole hour on Tomie or whatever, you know, but.
Yeah. I mean, I did read it because Shelf by Genre was doing it, and I was like, of all of the Junji Ito that I haven't read yet, Tomie is the one that I like know that I want to read.
Also, it's my favorite Junji Ito. Was that part of your conception of
that
why?
That is part of why it's one of the ones that I most want to read of things that I haven't read.
That's what I can hear.
Yeah. I don't think it would be there if it wasn't your favorite. So, but yeah, and I was like, it is the first one that they're doing, so I'll just read it, and then I will have read it when I listen to the episodes, instead of having to do it the other way around. And maybe I'll try and follow the other, like, episodes, but also reading that much Junji Ito back-to-back, just, I don't know if I would enjoy it, so, you know, I feel like it would start wearing thin, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
That's just at least the vibe I get.
Where can I find their schedule?
Yeah, I don't know. Did they publish?
I know that they, I know it's somewhere, but I don't know where to find it off the top of my head. I think I read everything that they're going to cover for the Jujutsu chapter, except one thing. That's all. That was my one thing I was going to say. Maybe it's in my pins over here. Censor. I haven't read Censor because they're doing Tomie, Uzumaki, Gyo, Remina, and Censor.
Yeah.
Oh, which is a good, like, slice. The thing with Junji Ito is, he has, like, two stories, and they're good stories, but, you can't just, like, go back, you can't just read, like, you can't just, like, down all the whole thing. I think it would rob it. Maybe you can. Maybe you just like it and you vibe with it that much. But I, whenever I do that, I end up feeling like almost like, you know, taste blind to the thing that I'm devouring when it's all too the same. And I want more time between the things to enjoy them for what they are.
Yeah. Anytime I've done like, I feel like where I've done this the most often is where I will like watch all of or at least a bunch of movies from a director like Akira Kurosawa or something.
Yeah.
I definitely did that like back in high school slash undergrad.
Yeah, I used to do that. When I had a movie blog, one of the main things I did was do like specific director projects and just work through their filmography in order, because this is when Netflix could get you pretty much any movie you wanted because they just sent you the fucking discs. That was great, but I still think that maybe on some level I'd be better sort of spacing that shit out a little bit.
Yeah, and I feel like even when I did that, it was like I know, I don't remember who, I think it was, because I watched like a fair amount of Godard and then another director at the same time. It was like, because they had the whole Q thing too. Oh, I think it was Bergman. Like, even when I would do those things, I would, like, space it out a little bit, you know? Like, this is how I watch, like, all the Grudge movies that existed at the time, is I put them in my queue with, like, you know, four or five movies in between, which meant I was watching, like, one every week or two, but, because I was just watching a ton of movies back then. It was most nights I would sit down and watch a movie and then do something else, because I had all this free time. I wasn't even married then. Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like that was a little bit more like when I was, it was not like movie back to back to back, you know? I feel like I always enjoy jumping around a little bit between stuff. I feel like, just like sticking with somebody's work for so long, sometimes it like, unless I'm like really enjoying it. Yeah. It does like start dragging a little bit. So it's good to space it out. In a way where I'm just like, I might like listen to, like, I haven't listened to the Earthsea ones because I haven't read those books and I just want to read them first before I listen to their thoughts on them.
Yes.
I might listen to the Junji Ito ones just because I suspect that like feelings that I have about the Junji Ito that I have read will still kind of carry over where I will kind of understand what they're talking about, you know? Yeah. And it's not like, oh, this like massive development just from what I know about Ito's work. So, I might try and follow along, but I'm really not going to hold myself to that. If I feel myself dragging. So, I did enjoy Tomie.
I reread Tomie this week because I knew you were going to, you said I read it. I was like, it's been like many years since I reread it. So I should reread it.
Yeah. And I think I especially enjoyed just like, cause there's what, 20 stories, I think,
sure,
total between, Tomie and then Tomie again. Mm-hmm. That's like the breakdown that I saw when I was logging it on.
I just have the big one volume, the hardcover. Yeah. So,
yeah. I think like part of what ended up making it really work for me is that like it's all revolving around similar ideas, but like who Tomie is kind of shifts a little bit between stories, right? Like,
yes,
there are some times where like you get more interiority from her or something, or like she seems to be like more embodied as like a girl in the world who like people are interacting with, and then like weird things are happening. And then other times she's like, one time she just is the like, you know, snow, like, you know, the myth of like the snow woman.
Yes.
Basically.
I want to stop for a second in case people don't listen to Shelf by Genre. It's possible. Yeah. I know they're more popular than us, but you never know. Tomie, manga by Junji Ito, famous horror mangaka. In broad strokes, Tomie is about a mysterious woman named Tomie. She is noted for having like a mole under her left eye. And she's beautiful and kind of mysterious and drives like men to like kill her, specifically dismember her. just by existing seemingly. And whenever that happens, the various parts of her, she has like rapid healing powers, will turn into multiple Tomies and then compete with each other to become the one Tomie again.
Yeah.
This is true through basically every version of the story.
Yes. Although there's also variations of like, if somebody gets, like some part of Tomie inside of them. So there's like a girl who gets
Women can be transformed into Tomie.
Yeah. And then there's like this experiment where this guy injects a bunch of babies with
Tomie blood.
Yeah. And then they all start turning into like, literally they all just look exactly like Tomie. They are just Tomie with like different names.
Yeah.
And it just does a whole lot of variations on that idea. And like it revolving around, I think, like cultural obsessions with like beauty and youth.
Yes.
And then also, I think this is one of the parts where like having different stories that are looking at different angles from it, like does this the best, because if you just have one angle, I think it like, might feel too overly simplistic, but there's like this weird, some of it is also exploring the strange power dynamics of like, by being a beautiful young woman in the world, there are like certain ways in which you can exert power or control over men, but that's like very tenuous. Like it can flip on a dime. Mm-hmm. And it's also like, there are all these ways in which the world will continually remind you that like, that is a temporary thing that you are given because like of your youth and everything. They can like easily be taken away from you. And then at other times, it's just like purely about the violence that men want to do against women.
Yes.
And then like Tomie seems like very powerless in some of those moments. But yeah, it's sort of, I feel like it's often like exploring where sometimes having like, you know, the privilege of being pretty and young or whatever, you know, I'm putting like scare quotes on privilege or whatever, does it like provide some power that women can exercise, but like always at a risk.
Yeah. Partially because it's such a huge collection of sort of stories. And they have some connections, but they're all pretty tenuous. It doesn't ever settle on one concrete metaphor, and I think it's much better for it in aggregate. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like it, like reading it too, I felt like it, in some ways it's been a while since I've watched all the Grudge movies. So maybe I would feel differently if I did this project, or you'll do the project and you'll have opinions. But like, I remember it feeling very samey at a certain point, because it kind of always returns to like the core thing that is like what made Kayako and, Toshio, right? Like this like event, and then that just keeps like kind of repeating and then going into new spaces.
Yeah.
And this like, this is more what I wish the Grudge did as it went on, where like just what that is becomes weirder and murkier and not always like basically doing the same thing, right? Like there are ways in which like you could perhaps cohesively tie everything together to explain how this is all happening, especially because Tomie is like self-replicating.
Yeah.
But none of it is in a way where it's like very neat or easy, or like, you know, the first one is presumably the origin of Tomie, but not necessarily, right?
It's really interesting because the first movie is kind of an adaptation of the first story. But ends up already like buying into the idea there's an extended, because that's the first movie. I want to watch all of them. I have them. It just will take some time. The first movie is like, oh, a group of kids kill one of their classmates and cover it up, whatever. And it's like 3 years late. The movie is about 3 years later. One of the girls who was part of the group, is being investigated by a detective because all these people are like ending up dead or whatever. And they're like, what happened? Like, I think they killed this student of theirs. But they never found a body. So I don't know. I'm just kind of investigating in true V-cinema fashion. There's just a smoking detective trying to figure shit out. And she doesn't really have, she like lost her memory. Like she's in therapy to try to recover whatever traumatic memory she has. And it's probably about this murder. Meanwhile, next door, a guy is growing a Tomie from like a head. And that's going through. And the detective's like, you know, we know that this woman was called Tomie and she was like 16 and she died and she's cut up. We don't really know where the pieces are. Most of them. But then he talks about how like through history, they found women named Tomie who have been cut up since like the Meiji era. So it immediately is like, Tomie is just like an, like is like, a monster, a force of nature that just continues to exist in human society, like whatever. Like, it's so nebulous on purpose, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like even in the manga, there is this like uncertainty. You know, the first one is like very tempting to read as the origin. There's sort of a way in which like that is such that murder in particular is like so intense. Just in terms of like all these people involved and then the whole scattering of all like everybody takes a piece and everything that like sort of suggests maybe where this whole each of the piece regenerates could like come from. But even that, like, if as tempting as it feels to read that as like the origin, it never like commits to like this is how Tomie came to be, right?
Yeah, so, it's also interesting because it's like a really early Junji Ito, and like it looks different, it feels different.
Yeah, the first like couple stories in particular.
Like
Tomie, the first one is the biggest where you're just like, this is Ito.
Well, yeah, it's like I've read the first, like, in English, Drifting Classroom, the famous horror manga by Umezu, is released in 3 volumes. I read the first volume of that, and I need to read the other two. I have them. I just never got around to it. And it feels like an Umezu manga. It feels like Drifting Classroom, because Drifting Classroom is about a classroom that's, like, teleported into the future, like a post-apocalyptic future, and all of this, these kids have to survive. Just their school suddenly is in the middle of fucking nowhere. Like there's no more world around them and it devolves. And all the stuff about like all these sweating students in this high school being driven by like weird, like desires to kill and hide that they don't understand is like, that's like pure Umezu to me. And isn't necessarily what the rest of Ito's work or the rest of Tomie ends up being about, right?
Yeah.
Because Tomie ends up being way more of like a, like, almost like arch EC Comics gothic horror revenge stories over and over again.
Yeah.
Where she drifts into someone's life and you're like, they kind of deserve what's about to happen to them. And then it does happen to them. And you're like, yeah, they probably deserve that a little bit.
Yeah. And often there might be like some girl on the sidelines who doesn't really deserve, but like doesn't die, but has to witness it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they kind of deserve it, too.
They do sometimes deserve it. The photo girl kind of deserves it a little bit.
Yeah, the main character of the first Tomie movie is kind of amalgam, like, is kind of the photo girl also. Yeah, it's weird. It's a cool movie. I it's, like, from 98, and it's very cheap, and it's very slow, and I was pretty bored for the first hour of it, but the last half hour fucking cooks. Highly recommend checking out Tomie, just for the, like, vibe of, like, gauzy, like, late 90s Japanese cinema. There's a lot of, like, you know, empty rooms where a girl's just, like, sitting there developing film and aesthetic. It's real aesthetic.
Yeah, and I feel like I enjoyed all, or at least most, of the stories. There are definitely some where, like, oh, this one's really cooking, just in terms of, like, wow, there's some, like, really, you know, there's a lot of themes and, like, images that are getting, like, smashed together without clear answers, and this is, like, you know, this one's, like, more exciting to read. And then there's just ones, like, the Moromi one, where it's, like, this one's just funny. Like,
which one's the Moromi one?
The one with the guy who... his like uncle or something makes sake. The guy who like
yes, they put Tomie in the vats and drink all the Tomie juice.
Yeah. And there's just the like the escalating comedy too of like the guy kills Tomie and then calls up his friend and is like, yeah, about her. Well, I kind of killed her. Excuse me? Just come over, please.
Yeah.
And then like, what the shit?
The one I think is funniest is the guy who feels really bad that they killed Tomie, and he stays in they cut off her fingers, and her fingers are just in a cave, and he stays with the fingers as they start to regenerate, and the pinky, like, isn't regenerating right, and it's just, like, this horrible, like, flesh monster in the vague shape of a woman, and the other ones turn beautiful and, like, laugh at him and leave, and the last one stays there, and he's, like, starving to death in this cave. He refuses to leave. It's real,
and
like,
he was also, like, the youngest of four who got, like, bullied and everything for, like, you know... being the ugly one or whatever. Yes.
And so he like projects us onto this one, the little finger. And so he's like dying and And it's like apologizes and realizes that he is kind of like had this weird transfer, like is in love with this weird flesh monster. And then he immediately reverts back to beautiful Tomie and laughs at him and leaves as he dies. It's fucking
yeah,
great.
It's like, so that's the kind of girl you're into. Yes. And leaves. Yeah.
Yeah.
That one has like the best final punchline.
Yeah.
I especially just love in the Moromi one, the like escalating too, where it's like, you know, oh, it just like keeps regenerating and I've like mashed it up. And it's not just that, and like opens up the fridge and just like Tomie meat pours out of the fridge. And then it's like, there's more. And there's just a bunch in like trash cans and they're just bubbling over.
He keeps cutting into smaller pieces, but the pieces regenerate. So there's the more he does it, the more there is to cut up.
Yeah. So yeah, then they put it in the sake, hoping that it will stop the regeneration. But then they all just get high on Tomie sake fumes and then, drink it. And
she like emerges as like a water being out of the sake vat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those where I'm like, there's the least like interesting, like, you know, oh, this is like doing some sort of thematic thing that I'm like thinking about. I'm just like, this was funny and weird. I just enjoy it, like turning the pages and being like, oh yeah, the sake Tomie monster coming out of the vat. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Truly an enjoyable read though.
Yeah.
Also, I read a bunch of it in the car to and from, our bed broke on the weekend. We had to go get a new one and I had to build it. And when we were driving to and from IKEA, I was just reading Tomie in the car. The coming back from IKEA was a lot more uncomfortable because there was a box with a bed in it smashed up against me. But, so you don't have that big of a car. So just had to like go all the way forward into the front seat, basically. But it was a nice thing to just read while also having to deal with this weird, just having to build my bed because it broke. So, oh, update in terms of just weird things, update on the moth situation. We still have seen a couple in the apartment, like every, you know, like once or twice a week or something. But it's mostly resolved. So, yeah. There's like a week or two where we didn't see any. So, but we did find like a sock under the bed when it broke that some moths have been eating. So maybe that was part of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The blessing of the bed breaking, I guess, is we had to fucking clean under the bed.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah. I've also read a little bit more Hunter x Hunter, but like not much.
Shaking my head.
I mean, part of it is I was reading Tomie.
This is like how it took Autumn 10 months to read Nana.
It has not nearly been that long, but, I did finish volume 5 today. Okay. So, I don't know if you saw on my media pile account.
Maybe. What happened?
I did just tweet, an hour ago, the panels of, Not now. Meet me in York, New City on September 1st. That's more than 6 months away. What's going on in York, New City then? And I just tweeted, damn, so 6 months until the manga really starts cooking, I guess.
Is this after the Angel Tower stuff or whatever?
This is the very beginning of Heaven's Arena.
Heaven's Arena, yes. Okay. Yeah. They're busy for 6 months. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, it's actually a really short arc because it's mostly arc to explain Nen because it doesn't exist yet.
Yeah. Having been listening to Media Club Plus, I am just like,
oh, okay. So you kind of know what's ahead.
Yeah. I know what's coming up. Okay. So I think they're in the middle of Greed Island right now. Okay. So, yeah.
But they're watching it, right?
Yeah, they're watching it. They are not reading.
So I watched the 2011 version. Loved it. Watched it in like 3 weeks. Like, just crazy about it. And then I read it like 8 months later or whatever. And I think Greed Island is the one that is most benefited by the manga version. I think overall, if you're going to get into Hunter x Hunter for the first time, you should read it. Takashi's a god tier artist, especially when his body starts breaking down and he starts cutting corners. The way he cuts corners is like no one is as good as him. It's just great. Like, if you look at the pages of, like, the like, weeklies versus the, like, when he finally made the tankobons and cleaned up the art, it's like, he's able with, like, no capacity to draw to get the emotions across with, like, scribbles, and it looks so fucking good. Anyway, when you get there, we'll talk about it, because I truly think that Greed Island is, like, it is monumentally impressive to me as a work. But for reasons that are like, no one else can pull off. It's like when I got to Falconia in Berserk, not to speak specifically, you just get to the part where it's like, Mira's just drawing so many horses and so much geography. And I'm like, this man is killing himself making this model. It's like when I read a Koromori book, you just have to stand back and like, in awe of the sheer talent and effort on display. You're like, no human being should work this hard for a page of a comic. And that's how I feel about Takashi in that arc, but entirely through the writing and not the art, which is like, that's never happened to me before.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about it when you get there.
Yeah. I know that it's short, so that will help me, you know. Like, I know the end's in sight, right? Because I know it's coming. But I do feel like when they're just explaining then to me, I'll be like, a little impatient with that stuff, I think.
It's fun because Gon and Killua hanging out is always a good time. They're just perfect little boys.
Yeah. I feel like there's still going to be, like, the good funny bits. That's just what's kept me going with Hunter x Hunter so far.
Imagine explaining a complex idea to Gon.
Yeah.
That's comedy. Comedy generates out of this dumb idiot boy who has a lot of capacity, but not a lot of sense.
And I think I also have just the benefit of knowing that, like, while this is still stuff that's going to get, like, referenced and developed, it's still going to be Calvin Ball, right? I don't need to every single rule to understand, and, like, it's going to be deeply, Togashi just doesn't care like that. In that way that, like, some, you know, authors, mangaka do, when I've read Brandon Sanderson, not to talk ill of Brando Sando, beloved of, some people that I podcast with, but there are just parts will explain parts about how the, like, magic system works. And I'm like, shut up. I don't care. I don't want to have to remember how the fucking metals relate to different things so I can understand something later. I just don't. I just can't be fucked to care this much about, like, a fake magic system.
I know which color Goku's hair is better than the other colors. Yeah. That's all that matters.
I guess I can be bothered to care about it if it's, like, in the context of a game thing where, like, I'm actually interacting with it and doing cool things with it, but...
Sure. But that's different.
Yeah, if you're just telling me a story, just give me the cool things, you know? Yeah. Don't give me the building blocks to understand how you're building something. If you're giving me the building blocks, I should be building it, you know? That's how I feel. But yeah, I know enough about Hunter x Hunter to know that, you know, when all the Nen stuff's happening, like, I don't have to worry that this is just, it's just going to devolve into this nonsense, you know?
Yeah. Also, because everyone's powers are so unique and they get weirder as they go on, it truly is just like, here's a new character. What the fuck do they do?
Yeah. Yeah. My plan is before I go to Iceland, I'll be through volume 10. So.
Okay.
Which I think is like about a fourth of, you know, what's out, what I'll probably read.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I don't know the exact stopping point, but,
there are 37 volumes. Is that actual for real? Or is that the amount that was collected before the hiatus ended, or like for the current arc that they're in?
I think that's correct.
Okay. If you wanted to stop, though I would not necessarily, you could easily stop at 32, which is where the stopping point was for a long time.
Okay.
That's where the anime stops. But then there's a couple more volumes, and there's like enough for probably another volume that's been uncollected, from Togashi coming back. But at the rate he's going, there's not going to be that much of that.
Yeah.
I got caught up before he returned, quote unquote, to where it was. And, I was like, if he ever comes back, and I didn't think he was going to at that point, I was like, I need to wait for this arc to finish, because it's like a 10,000 plate spinning arc, which is kind of his whole deal these days. And I just was like, I can't wait 6 months for another chapter of this. I won't remember what the fuck's going on every time he puts out a chapter.
Yeah. Yeah, I might see in, like, because I know people will have, like, here's a breakdown of the way that the arcs, like, play out.
Yeah.
And then just see, like, oh, an arc wrapped up. Maybe I'll get the next volumes. But I might also just read to where it is. You know. It kind of depends on what the vibe is.
Yeah.
Because, so, like, right now, Blue Period is just a manga that I'm, like, following as it comes out. I'm waiting for the Tankobon, but, like, yeah. Which I normally don't do. I usually like just having a thing that's done.
You know? Yeah, yep, that's my general... My thing is, even if I love the manga, I've fallen off of every ongoing manga that I love. Literally some of my favorites of all time. I don't think I have the last volume of Yotsuba that came out. I might, I don't remember. And that's fucked up, because you don't even need to remember anything of Yotsuba. You just read it and enjoy it. It's good, perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't keep up with manga. Just truly incapable.
Yeah.
I can't keep up with anything, let's be real. if it's currently airing, I'm behind on it.
Yeah. I feel like it's easier for me to keep up with, like, a couple manga, but I feel like I need to be selective with which ones I'm, like, intentionally keeping up on, too.
Yeah.
Because if I pile too many on, then I'm just going to, like, you know. I mean, it's just, I'm going to feel like I'm constantly juggling that and not checking out, oh, here's some other, like, old thing I'm going to read. And
yeah,
I think I just enjoy that more overall.
So. Yeah. It takes a lot of giving a shit to overcome my resistance to unfinished work. Just by the nature of how I want to be into something for about 3 weeks, get it done and move on to a new thing, right? Like, I don't have time to, like, slowly ruminate over an ongoing thing for years as it's coming out. I got shit to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like I often enjoy a certain balance of, like, I'm always very conscious of, like, where chapters are and things when I'm reading, like, a manga or whatever. I feel like I've never been super prone to just the, like, you know, people sitting down and, like, streaming an entire series of a show, like, an entire season. That kind of, like, binge watching. Yeah, I've always kind of enjoyed jumping around between things, which I feel like helps, but it does mean that, like, I don't read all of Hunter x Hunter in one weekend, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's also just hard for me with my life, but, yeah. I do want to, like, read a volume of Hunter x Hunter and then be like, oh, let me check out Tomie, and then read another volume, and then, oh, let me read a little bit of this book, and yeah. I like to have multiple things going at once, right?
Yeah.
Emily will make fun of me for this because I will just have my stack of, like, books that I'm currently reading on my desk. But I must get this from my dad, because my dad always had this too. His stack was massive, though. So, I feel like I've done better at curtailing it than he did.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I feel like that's most of what I've got. I don't know if you have anything else.
I have other things, but I don't know how, like, invested in talking about them I necessarily am at this moment.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm in this weird moment where I'm, like, working on some stuff, but I'm like, is this for Alf? Is this for VoIP? Is this just for me? Is it not for anything? It's kind of a weird outreach of some stuff I talked about on the last VoIP Life and the last Alf kind of combined. They're all, like, one idea, right? I guess I'll just talk about it, whatever. So, like, we talked last week about, like, I put my weird feelings of, like, self-discovery onto the early internet. And then on Voight Black, I was talking about getting really into the old internet because I watched Halt and Catch Fire, which is a great show. And it ends in, like, 94 as, like, internet communities are trying to be real. And so I just got, I got in this weird hole of looking at, like, GeoCities and old websites that have been archived through various projects. You can listen to Voight Life about that.
Yeah.
And I decided what I really wanted, it would make me good. It would make me normal. It'd fix me. Is if I had a, like, static website, like an old web 1.0 ass website, I'm doing it on NeoCities because that's the one everyone uses because it's, like, where people go to do such things. Seems like a good project, all told, you know, have been working on a website, a personal website. I've ended up kind of turning this into like a weird, not quite community project, but I did say I was doing it in the Discord and got some other people who were thinking about doing it. At some point, we might make an abnormal mapping web ring and link all the sites up in good old fashioned style. I have the tools to do that if I figure out how to use them. They've been given to me by community members. But mostly I've just been like relearning HTML, which I knew a little bit. I had like a Laguna shrine as a teen on Angel Fire that I hand coded. Back when all we had was HTML, you got to do everything in tables and non-breaking spaces. There was no CSS. It was all just boring HTML. And then, like I said, never use CSS. So I'm learning a little bit of CSS and grabbing some off-the-shelf templates and shit and putting that together. So literally, when you messaged me about this podcast, I was like, I'm going to make the first blog post because I've been working on the page layouts for some of my pages. But I haven't actually written a fucking blog post on the blog I want to make. And I was in the middle of writing that when you were like, oh, it's time to go. And I was like, shit, I'm like, in a different room in the middle of like writing something. I need to like find a stopping point and save this. And it's been a whole to do. But that blog post will probably already be up by now. I mean, I don't know if I want to like, the whole point is to like kind of get away from social media stuff, right? It's like, I want a place that's like kind of mine, that people can go to, but I'm not like promoting work in the same way. I'm just kind of like ruminating for me. And I could just journal, normal people journal, but I've never been like a journaler. I've tried to pick up the habit. It's never stuck. And I just remember doing a lot of live journal back in the day. And kind of what I want to recapture is just like that stuff, but I don't know where I promote it or if I do promote it, but then if I don't promote it, like why not just do a journal? Is that not just a journal that lives online? I don't know. Things I have to figure out, just sorting out like what I want things to be in my life. But if people are interested, there's a websites channel in the Discord where people can post their own websites. If you've got a personal website you'd like to, there's no web ring yet, but I am keeping a pinned list curated of everyone's websites. There's a lot of cool stuff there. Very different aesthetic tastes all across the board. But mine is at polarbearsummer.online, where it's extremely under construction, but there should be at least one blog post up by now if you're listening to this. So,
yeah. It has made me think about making a website as well. I mean, I've made websites before. This is actually a thing that I like. One of the things that I studied in addition to I went to art school for like making video.
I knew that.
But in addition to that, I also did focus on like graphic design and website design stuff. There's some websites that I made back in the day, like small websites. I think the only one that I know is still up and I remember is my wife's website. There was a lot of like her making the assets for it, like the image assets here. But me like putting that together in CSS, and HTML and stuff. And there were some other ones that I did. I had a website at one point that's not up anymore because I was just like, nah.
Oh, this is such like a normal website compared to what I'm doing in the world.
I mean, this is just like her portfolio website.
Yes.
Like,
I'm deliberately trying to be ugly and old fashioned with it.
I like her version of the poster for Bright Future, Kiyoshi Kurosawa film. Is one of the, if you click on the like little tiles, you'll see some of her art. In terms of like graphic design stuff, mostly what I focused on was like, I've laid out some like poetry chapbooks and stuff. Like this is the reason why when I'm like reading a book, like ebooks often just mess with my head, is because I've done literally the layout of like looking at a page and, you know, figuring out like where I should do a line break to make this paragraph look better and stuff. And that's just a thing that I like know. And so it's hard for me to not see it. And then when things are clearly just generated and nobody's actually gone out and like, you know, gone through and set up the pages so that stuff reads well. Yeah. I'm just like aware of it. I'm just deeply aware of it. So
we extremely cannot share the link to this for the record.
Yeah. Yeah. If people go to the blog, there's just like,
No, we cannot. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we cannot.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is stuff I know you don't like sharing with the world. So we're just not going to do that.
Yeah.
My whole life's online, but you don't have to be.
Yeah. So there is just a bunch of old stuff here.
Yeah.
I've done some of this stuff, so it would be fun to just go back and be like, ah, yes, CSS, I remember this shit, you know? So,
yeah,
it's been a long time since I've done it, so I don't know if I'd be able to immediately answer a question if you had one. There's probably people more actively doing it.
The actual answer is that usually the internet's actually really good with resources for most things I want to do. And the things that it's not good with are usually it's because the answer is like, well, actually none of the things you know how to use would do that. You need to like write a Java thing. And I'm like, well, then I'm not, that's not happening then. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I got out of the website designing game around the time where Java stuff got really important to do.
Yeah.
Back when I was doing it, there are definitely websites using it, but there was also just as many like professional websites, you know, for like big companies that were using Flash instead of JavaScript stuff. So, and all those websites are just like, you can't access them now unless you have the shit to run Flash. So,
yeah.
I made some Flash websites that extremely don't run in anymore
because
websites don't support Flash anymore.
Yeah, that was the fucking standard of the web for years. If you wanted anything more complicated than just HTML, Flash was it.
If you wanted any like fancy movement and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I mean, like all the like it's I don't know. I haven't looked in the state because I know there's the big like Flash repository of like animations and games and stuff that people saved a lot of, but I bet the websites did not get captured as much as the other stuff did.
Yeah,
because that stuff just was not perceived as valuable. And to be fair, maybe it wasn't, but it's still nice to have. It's nice to have things that aren't valuable.
Yeah.
But yeah,
this last blog post is from 2011.
Yeah.
Christ, that was forever ago.
Yeah. It's about going to Chicago, where I just assumed you've been your entire life.
Yeah. That was like not too long after we got married. So, I've been married for a long ass time. This Iceland trip was supposed to be the 10-year anniversary. And then COVID happened and stopped our trip from happening. So,
yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
My goal is just to try to not use any like big services. I'm trying to use like, you know, projects like NeoCities that are like, I don't want a WordPress site. Right. And then not tie it to any like web 2.0 stuff. There's not going to be any like Discus comments. I could easily add them. I looked at how, and I was like, nope, don't want people to comment. You can email me if you want, set up an entire email. That's like a unique email for that website. It's on the website. The one thing I do want to figure out is an RSS for the blog, but that's like a down the road thing. Because NeoCities seems to have just what generic RSS, but for the main page itself, that just updates anytime you update the web page, which doesn't help anybody because I'm going to update the web page all the time because I'm fiddling with shit.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll just sit there over like, I have a free hour and I'll just like change font colors for an hour back and forth to find a different font color I like. And I don't subscribe to that RSS. If you know, even if you can even figure out how, I don't even know where it's at. I just know it exists.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it. You know, I'm not trying to get super fancy with it. I just wanted a blog and a website where I could make a table that shows all the controllers I own for my own sake. And anyone who's interested in going down my road of collecting old controllers, stuff like that, do like a little VTuber shrine to my Oshis, you know, fun things like that. Yeah. I got into this weird project and I was like, I mean, Aranya has a NeoCities, right? She has to. And then I found literally a stream where she was working on her NeoCities from like a year ago. And it's kind of, it's mostly just like is currently just like a card, like a glorified card.
Yeah.
But she intends to work on it after her game jam is over. Cause she's the most old web coded person in the world. So I was like, there's no way she doesn't have one of these. She does.
Yeah.
I downloaded a fucking pixel art program that I'm going to use to try to make art for it, because right now I'm just like stealing art from the internet and then mashing it together with GIFs that I find. But I would like to make some custom art for it, even though I'm not a very good artist. As anyone who's seen some of the art for various podcasts can attest, I'm like fine, but I'm like fine in that I can make a thumbnail to give to a real artist, not fine in that I can produce my own art.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of where, like, when I have free time and I'm not, like, watching The L Word or watching a movie, I'm putting it into that. Which I'm at the point now where I'm like, I need to, like, buckle down and go play the Evermore Mapping Game Club game because I'm falling behind on that. It's going to be one of those rare months where I come in, I'm like, I didn't play any fucking thing else. I just played the one game. I was busy. Never happens. But expect that. Make up for last month where I played, like, 35 games or whatever.
Yeah. It goes in waves with you.
Yeah, I'm extremely like. Boom bust. Yeah. But it's weird because, like, I think there's, like, ways that happens where people literally, like, I don't think I'm particularly manic about it, right? Because that's,
yeah, I get, like, deeply fixated on, like, yeah. fighting games right now is the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just kind of indulge to where my interest wanes a little bit, and then I walk away, and then I know it'll come back. I rarely put things away forever. Sometimes they put away for a long time, but, I'm always cooking a little bit, but yeah, I always, my thing is I always have like podcast work to do. So that means I'm watching at least one movie every 2 weeks. I'm always working on at least one game a month and I'm reading two books. And I have to have something for VoIP, and I got to watch Gundam every week and I record with Dia and I watch blockbusters, I guess. So three movies a month, at least. And so there's like a certain amount of like doing a little bit of everything I have to do just in my life. So I just kind of ride the waves of my interest and, you know, it's mostly where I feel like I accomplished quite a bit for all to say I feel so pulled in a bunch of different directions.
Yeah.
I think I do a lot without being, I'm not working myself to death like I used to. And I still think I do quite a bit. So.
Yeah. I feel like I keep saying this, but I just keep having various things come up. But yeah. I'm just looking forward to when things, like, even out a little bit with me. I mean, also, when we're done with Mort Arthur, I think we're just going to be reading shorter bits.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking forward to that. Because right now, it's like, I will read it on my lunch break at work on Monday. But then usually I, like, come home, and then Monday night, I have to, like, finish the reading. Yeah. Or I'll, like, do half of it on Sunday, like, while I'm at home. And it'll be nice when it's just like, I can just do all the reading over my one lunch break and be done. So,
yeah, I tend to read Monday night and then maybe a little bit of Tuesday if I don't get finished on Monday. Usually like the week before last, it spread out over 3 days. That's how not into it I was. This week I read it all in one sitting. I was like, fuck, we're cooking now.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely went faster through this reading than some of the other ones because I was just enjoying it, you know, made it easier. I was less tempted to just look at my phone and be like, whoa, what's Twitter doing? So that's definitely helped. But yeah, we'll just get to like, you know, the Eddas and we'll just be like some fucking poetry. Read a couple poems. You know? We'll yeah. really be like speeding through some of that stuff, I think. So, yeah. I feel like I don't have too much else, but...
No VTuber updates?
Not really. I mean, I think I said last time, Callie just feels firmly my second Oshi now.
Oh, yeah, she's been gone, though, so there's not a lot to say
about so there's
that.
Not, like, new stuff, but... since Grandma Camp is happening here, if I have, like, the video going on my laptop and my kid is around, they're going to be coming over me like, oh, what's that? Can I watch? Whatever. Which is just an energy I don't need when I just have something in the background while I'm working. So I've been, like, very podcast music mode this week. So I haven't even been watching that many Neurosis streams. So I'm, like, super caught up in my podcast net, though. I had a couple that I was behind on, like, you know, a week or two behind. I'm now caught up in just more often just listening to music at work. So,
yeah, I'm so caught up. I started re-listening to this podcast for the first time, which I'd never done before. It takes, I'm still not at the part where we start doing the rest of like the extra stuff.
Wait, there's a part where we just talked about the sagas and then we're done?
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
We used to do that. That was like, that was the podcast.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. It's like, I've been like slowly listening to Stairwells again, and I'm in like episode 16, 17, and non-homophobia zone doesn't exist yet. Just end the podcast with the music.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, probably some of this too is just as it went on, I realized more and more what I was really getting and valuing from podcasting.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, I think I just want to talk about random shit in addition to like whatever the thing is, you know?
Yeah.
I wanted to spend time
easily
with
make this a freeform podcast and it'd be fine at this point.
Yeah.
I don't intend to necessarily, but it is like a positive. We can do whatever the fuck we want.
Yeah. And I'm just enjoying reading classics right now. So, when that stops being true, you know, we can just say, fuck it. I mean, the title's still going to work. We're still just going to be chilling around a fire talking.
Yes. This is the vibe we've cultivated.
Yeah. I can't believe it took us. Was it really like James Kringla that did it to us? We were just like, we have nothing to fucking talk about. So, I guess that makes sense. But yeah.
Because it was that or 30-minute episodes, and you wanted to podcast more, so.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, every time it's got to be an hour and a half or we fucked up. I don't really feel that way, but it's kind of how it goes.
Yeah. If we don't hit an hour, I feel like we fucked up.
Okay.
If we hit an hour, I'm like, that's okay. And then if it's like an hour and a half, I'm like, that was a good one. And then sometimes we cook and we go for 2 hours, but.
Yeah.
We're coming up on an hour and a half.
We're basically done, though, I think. I think we're done. Anything else. So.
Yeah. Well, you can find me at FoxOmnia on Twitter and anything else that I'm on. I'm still doing the weekly schedule posts, so check those out. Retweet every single promo of every single one of my podcasts. Fucking do it. And go in the Discord and say how great the episodes were. And go listen to Ghost Divers. We're about to do Psychopaths the movie, so I'm excited. I think I'm gonna watch that tomorrow night. I might also watch the last episode of Unicorn, which I haven't gotten to yet because I've just kind of got bored with Unicorn.
3.5 hours of anime. Let's fucking go.
Yeah, we'll see if I can do both in the same night. I think it'd be funny to do what I know lots of people love is a, you know, anime movie and then just go right into the end of Unicorn.
Yeah.
And just remind myself not to hope too much with anime. after that, we're going to be doing the old Berserk anime, the like 97, 96, I think. I forget what year it was.
I thought it was 99, but I could be wrong.
I'll say this if I go to the Ghost Cyber's official schedule spreadsheet. Also go listen to Pondering Putan with Ajiro Taro.
97.
Go listen to Pondering Putan with Ajiro Taro and Hachimitsu Boy. Last night we recorded chapters 113 and 114. Because we're trying to do some backlog so that there's not just like, because I'm going on vacation and then Connor's going on vacation, so if we didn't do it this way it would be like 3 or 4 weeks with no podcast. Oh, okay. Which is just a lot. So we've been recording. It's also easy to double up recordings for Putan because I don't have to read 50 pages of a book, and it's a half hour, there's a timer, So I know what to expect. It's very easy to go in and do double. So, yeah, the one that just went out when we were recording, we recorded last week. The one for chapter 113, at the end, I was like in hysterics. So I hope people enjoy that when it comes out. But for the few people who are in the Ghost Divers Discord, you got to see all of the images I was sending to Connor during the recording. So, and I don't think you're a part of the Ghost Divers Discord, but
I'm not.
Yeah. You can be if you want to. Mostly no. It's just been people who record on Ghost Divers. We just add them in there.
No, I'll wait until I've been invited. I do not have the time or wherewithal to come on.
Yeah. You have to find the love for anime again.
Well, it's going to be a while.
Yeah, it'll be a while. And go listen to Ornate Stairwells, where, In the Realm of the Senses will be out when people are hearing this episode of In the Realm of the Senses. And then the movie we picked for after that was Kung Fu Hustle, because I found out that Autumn had not fucking seen Kung Fu Hustle.
What the fuck, Autumn?
They then fell asleep a half hour into Kung Fu Hustle, so they need to finish that before we record the episode about Kung Fu Hustle. I'm like, how have you still not seen Kung Fu Hustle?
The fuck? I saw Kung Fu Hustle in a theater when it was out the first time.
I then realized that they were like 8 or something when it was in theaters. I was like, I guess that makes sense, but still, that's fucked up.
It's fucked up.
Just the weirdest part, when Emily found out, she was like, I've seen Kung Fu Hustle. How have you not seen Kung Fu Hustle? Because Emily just doesn't watch movies.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it was fucking a blast to watch Kung Fu Hustle. Great.
Yeah, it's
movie.
Kung Fu Hustle. It's one of the greatest films.
Truly one of the greatest films to come out that year, you know? Like, I think there's maybe a couple other in the running, but, like, it's up there, you know?
All right. Are you baiting me to argue with you? What happened this year? What year is this?
I think it was 2004.
Okay. I'm gonna go look. Profile. I want films, not profile. Films by decade. 2004. I don't think it was 2004.
That's what it's saying.
Oh, you know, it's not sorted by rating. I was like, I'm looking at the top. I'm like, I'm not seeing it. Oh, I need my rating. Because the average rating is Howl's Moving Castle's at the top. I'm like, what the fuck is that doing there? Seed of Chucky is that year, and I think I would say Seed of Chucky is a better movie than Kung Fu Hustle, but...
But, like, how many are you going to put above Kung Fu Hustle here?
That and Before Sunset. I think that's it.
Okay.
Before Sunset. Ocean's 12. Punching about the same weight as Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah. Kung Fu Hustle better than Kill Bill Volume 2, I think.
Yeah. I like Kill Bill Volume 2 quite a bit. You probably were not around the internet space as I was at the time. I had to be the person who was like defending Kill Bill Volume 2 for years. Everyone's like, one's so much cooler and two's bad and boring. And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with people? Seems ludicrous. I don't think anyone's fighting this fight anymore, but this used to be a thing that people would argue about. Volume 2 is a better movie than Volume 1. Sorry.
I like Kill Bill Volume 1 a lot, but mostly because I'm watching it and I'm like, Yo, Girl, Cop did
like
roll.
All those movies.
Oh, yeah, I do love, you know. Yeah.
The thing is that Volume 1 is ripping off movies that are like, I'd rather just watch those movies a lot of times. Yeah. Volume 2 is ripping off movies where, like, he's only ripping off the sequences I really like of movies that I watch despite the fact that some of them are boring.
Yeah. I have more affection for what one is ripping off, but also when I watch it, I just think about those, like V Cinema and other, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, yeah, man, that shit rules.
Whereas I'm like, I fucking love spaghetti westerns and Shaw Brothers movies, but sometimes they can be a little tedious.
This is reminding me of, there's a part where I... was a teacher's assistant for middle school art class. And one of the middle schoolers, described the, new Battles Without Honor and Humanity song, which came on a playlist, as the Kill Bill song. And I was like, I understand how this has happened, but also I just need to tell you that this is from another movie.
Yeah.
It's a good song. I need to inform you that this is from a movie before, but yeah.
All five of those movies that we've talked about are my 5 stars for this year. So,
yeah. I'm just saying, if you're making a list of the best movies of 2004, Kung Fu Hustle's on there, even if it's just like top five.
I think. Easy. Yeah.
I'm not saying it's number one, but it's up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some days it might be number one for me. It really varies on the day, I think. But I really enjoy Kung Fu Hustle. Anyway, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @EM_being. You can find all my podcasts at normalmapping.com. What's up that people should listen to? People should listen to the last episode of Gundam Unicorn. Which was great. We had a bit of fun at everyone's expense. We'll talk about it next episode, which is the question episode, which should have a guest. They're not locked down yet, but knock on wood, that guest appears, because it'd be very great to have them. I'm going to say who it is, because if that doesn't record this weekend, I don't want to sell people something that they're going to get excited for, and then tomorrow it turns out it didn't happen when that episode goes live. So should be fun. I will say it's one of the people who knew that we had seen Unicorn.
Okay, I was wondering if you were going to say it, because you fucking lied to my face.
I did lie to your face on this podcast. Yes, that's true. I did. I don't regret it.
On this podcast, you lied to me.
Yeah, I think it was. I don't even feel bad about it. If you're trying to make me feel guilty, you will not succeed. I don't feel bad about it one bit.
I know, but you enjoy me being bratty about it, so I'm giving you that. This is my gift to you, as I'm complaining about it.
I truly believe that there are some lies that are for the greater good, and the greater good is everyone's shared enjoyment and entertainment. And this is one of those where the gag was worth it.
Yeah. I do have to say, before anybody posted it, by 3 minutes before anybody posted about it in the Discord, I haven't watched the final episode yet. So I didn't know what it was, but then I messaged you because you posted on Twitter about apologies to everyone, but especially Neve. And I was like, wait, what? And then I put the pieces together and I figured out that you had already watched all of Unicorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was some question about whether we should tell you. Jax was like, oh, you should tell Neve. What if she feels left out or whatever? And I was like, I think it's fine. I think I have a pretty good read on the things that you think are beyond the pale and not. I think this one would be fine. And then I kind of obliquely asked you, I'm like, how do you feel about surprises? And you explained your situation with surprises. And it was enough to make me go, you'll be fine. You don't really care.
I do have a general dislike of surprises, but it's mostly like someone giving me something and then like waiting for my reaction in the moment. Yeah.
Which was not what I was asking of you at the time at all. So,
and it's like, especially like in person is where it's just very intense, where I'm like, because sometimes I will appreciate something, but I feel like I don't emote it in the way that somebody else wants. And then they're like, oh, do you not like it or something? I'm like, no, I do. Like, I'm just, do I have to like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do to make someone like, you know.
Yeah.
Understand that I appreciate it.
I would say you're kind of a muted, reactive person overall.
Yeah. And also sometimes they get a thing and I'm like, oh, this is like cool. I'm going to enjoy this. But then like, you know, the things that I'm like extremely excited or like going to really enjoy, I feel like I'm not even gonna fully know until like, you know, like weeks later where I've like fully read it. If it was a book or something or, you know, if it's like a mug, like, am I using it all the time? Right. If I'm using it all the time, then I just like, no, like, oh yeah, this one like really took, but like, you know, I appreciate every gift that anyone gives me, unless it's like absolute shit that, you know, I'll put a caveat. If someone just like gives me something terrible, you know, somebody walks up and is like here and they just hand me like a wad of leaves, I'll be like, okay, thanks. But you know, if someone's thought about me, I appreciate that. I just feel like performing the correct emotion is sometimes is like weird to me.
Yeah.
I mean, this is just weird birthday trauma stuff I have.
Yeah, so, yeah, that made sense to me. That's why I was like, I think it'll be fine. And it was. I wasn't worried about it. But I did lie to your face on this podcast. In fact, here's the thing that's really funny. I don't think we'll talk about this on GGP. People are like, I can't believe you were able to like kayfabe it, not laugh and like just flatly say this stuff. And I'm like, do you not listen to the podcast like in season 1, 2, and 3 where I fucking knew everything that happened in like the early Gundam? Like I'd seen Gundam. I'd seen half of Zeta. By the time we were doing Zeta, I knew what happened in Double Zeta and Char's Counter. I knew what fucking happened in Victory. A lot of what happened in Victory before we got there. By nature of being the person who looks up the voice actors and had to fucking do research to do the notes. I was kayfabing all of it. Not like I didn't know everything, but I knew a lot of stuff. That's like decreased as we gone on. I was always like, how many times did I just flatly tell Jackson something that I knew wasn't true? Because like, it's not about being cute. I truly just want to do the podcast as if we hadn't seen Gundam sometimes. I think it's valuable to do that work. It's not really like a joke when I do it that way. I believe in the process. Even when we did this, it was mostly because I was having weird spoiler brainworms. I was like continuing catching unicorn spoilers. Most of unicorn already been spoiled for me. And I was like, I'm sick of this. Sick of this shit. We're nearing, we're in Victory, and I kind of just want to go back and see what the thing is that I'm not going to get to see for years. And I did, and I felt a way about it. We talked about it. It's fine. And we'll talk about it some more next week. But I don't feel like it's a prank. It's just like the nature of making this thing that I do is kind of weird sometimes. And I like believe in it in like ways that are really like serious, despite the fact that I mostly try to have a good time with it. I take it very seriously in its way that is kind of goofy. I don't know how to explain it better than that. And that it's not really a joke. I'm not doing it at anyone's expense. I truly just sometimes the process gets a little weird. And you just do the best you can.
But you did have a laugh at my expense.
Yeah, but the point is that I knew you would have a laugh at me having done that when you found out. And then everyone has a good time. At no point am I trying to make you look foolish. If anything, I look ridiculous having to go, I can't believe you. To be fair, I think that's a ridiculous called shot. I would never know because I knew about Plo 12 in Double Zeta. But that you were able to just like look at her and go, that's Pluh. It was like wild to me. I'm like, how the fuck? I still am like deeply impressed by that.
Yeah.
That part's not fake.
I do think some of it is there's just a way that like maybe some of it comes from being on the production side of some things where like sometimes I'm just like hyper aware of things that like little visual things or little editing things that might be like cueing into something.
Yeah.
But also it's just, Plus, like one of my favorite Gundam characters ever.
Yeah.
I love her arc in Double Zeta. I hate what a lot of the fandom does with her. But I do think about Plah a lot. And so I just saw like Marita, and it was just like this immediate, like, that's my girl. That's like, I've thought about like, what if Plah got to grow up? Right.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a thing that I've thought about. And then I saw that and I was like, wait, what if Plah got to grow up?
Yeah.
And for a moment I was full of excitement and elation. And so far I haven't watched the last episode. Maybe it'll really turn it all around, but
you haven't listened to the GGP either then.
No, right? I haven't.
Okay. Enjoy that. Cause it's fucking ridiculous.
I do even if I'm like, haven't watched the show yet, every GGP that comes out, I will listen to the Pokemon segment and then stop and like put it until I watch the show.
Oh, there we go.
So. I've listened to Pokemon segment, but that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
God. Anyway, also on Monday, yesterday, as you're listening to this, the Blockbusters on Pirates of Silicon Valley came out. That $5 tier. If you go to Patreon, Compositional Mapping, check that out. We had Dion, assuming that worked out. That one was already announced, so it could go weird. Dion's sometimes hard to schedule, but I watched it before we recorded tonight. I'm excited to talk about it because that movie is fascinating, pretty decent. So, spoilers for how I feel about a TV movie from the 90s. It was pretty good.
Shocking.
Yeah.
You used to make movies in this country.
You fucking did. Kidding me? And I think that's everything of note for me. So, yeah, I think that's it. We'll get out of here. We'll, again, be taking 2 weeks off. Then we'll be back with the chapters in the description. I'm going to pull back up the
66 through 73.
Okay, thank you. And look forward to that. And we'll probably mostly talk about your vacation, would be my guess.
Yeah, probably.
though it might be that you could talk about on every other podcast. And if you want to just not talk about it on ALF, that's cool too. I'm sure I'll have 8,000 movies to talk about.
I mean, I'm not going to have any recordings until ALF.
Oh, okay.
That'll be the first recording when I get back. Because Connor will be on vacation, so there's no Putin. And well, then,
if you're like me, and you're not, but if you were, yeah. I would, when I start thinking about how I discuss my vacation, put different things I did into different podcast buckets of who gets to talk about what, based on which I think will be more interesting, and then divide it all up.
That'll probably happen to some extent, but yeah. I don't know if it'll be quite to the intentional level that it might be for you.
Because I have VoIP Life and this, I have to do that my entire fucking life. So yeah. I'm always like, what do I want to share and where do I want to share it? Because I have two kind of freeform podcasts where I spend an hour every week or so to talk about nothing. So I have to bring something. And I'm not that interesting. I don't have that much going on. I mostly work at my day job and sleep like everyone else.
Definitely if I like watch or read or whatever something, then that happens. And sometimes it is, I'll talk about it a little bit on Stairwells in this context and a little bit on ALF in this context or whatever. I truly never plan anything to talk about on Putin because it just doesn't feel like it's in the spirit of the podcast. The podcast is a weird improv thing that we do every week. So
that's true. Yeah. But because you spent like literally three episodes talking about Connor's wedding, I would not be surprised if you talked about the trip for at least one episode, right?
Yeah, it'll come up.
Yeah.
But that'll be also after Connor's trip. So, you know, there might just be an episode when we're both back where we just kind of talk about vacations.
You both have half an hour to talk about your trips recorded independently and played back at the same time. You're not talking to each other.
One of the few times that I release a stereo podcast. So one is in one ear and the one's in the other.
Yeah. Me, because I listen to podcasts with one AirPod in, which mixes it down to mono, I'm fucking doomed.
Yeah.
You will just make my head explode if you do that. So please don't do that.
Well, what if I do now?
Then I will have to break out my AirPod or like actual headphones and let's do it. I'll make a special effort to listen to it when I'm at home and I can put in headphones.
I don't know if I would do this.
And then I'll probably listen to one ear and then I'll rewind it and listen to the other ear instead of trying to listen to both at the same time at 2x speed like a crazy person because that's too much information to take in at once.
Yeah. I think the best version of it is if Connor and I both get on and we go as if we're going to record, but then we mute like in Discord so that we can't hear each other and we just talk.
Yeah.
And then when the timer goes off, we unmute and do
and then just do the thing. Yeah, that'd be great. Stupid.
Yeah. I don't know if we'll do this. It does just sound auditorially uncomfortable and also, you know, Putin works on our improv vibes, I think.
Yeah.
Bouncing back and forth. But it is a funny idea.
Even suggesting this idea, I've scuttled this idea as a possibility. I understand. Yeah. This is how it works sometimes.
Yeah.
It's fine. Anyway, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed. We'll be back in 3 weeks. If you're like, damn, I miss ALF, me too. Let me tell you, I'm just going to be sitting home going like, fuck. You're going to be on the side of a volcano or something. Shut the fuck up. I don't want to hear from you.
I mean, here's the thing is when you get off work and are driving home, it is going to be like 10:30 there or something.
Yeah.
So like there can still be a night where just like you're driving home and we just call, you know?
That's true.
Cause I do have to go back and have my kid go to sleep.
That's true.
Yeah. It's part of traveling with a kid. So there will be a part where I'm just chilling and then maybe we'll call.
Yeah. Anyway, see you in 3 weeks. Unless disaster befalls you, don't let disaster befall you, please. Yeah. For my sake.
There is an active volcano range, but we're not. The closest we're going to be towards it is when we fly on the plane there. So.
Yeah. And that's it. So until next time, we're out of the podcast.
And then we are out of the podcast.